Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts for today with Kay Puttock.
Hello, and thanks for listening in.
As you probably already have heard, Fidel Castro died on Friday at the age of 90. Castro governed the Republic of Cuba for 47 years as Prime Minister from 1959 to 1976, and then as President from 1976 to 2006. Before we continue the show, also a brief look at the weather. We'll see more warm weather a little bit longer. Tomorrow will be 55 degrees and sun is predicted. But don't be fooled. Freezing temperatures are expected at night, and temperatures will continue to drop during the days into the 30s. Expect a cloudy and drab, possibly damp week. But by the end of the week, on the weekend, the sun should come back, and temperatures then will be at highs in around 37 degrees.
Black Friday and Small Business Saturday are behind us. The Octagon's Festival of Trees in Ames has ended. Congratulations to Coase Florals and Gifts for their winning tree called Fireside Marshmallows. With the holiday season on us, we're fortunate to have a tradition of wonderful first-class musical events to enjoy during this time, offered to us by local volunteer musical organizations. The Central Iowa Symphony will be holding its holiday concert at City Auditorium on December the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. The Ames Children's Choir holiday concert will be held on December the 4th. More on that later in the hour.
In another area, other types of efforts are underway to ensure well-being in our area. The Ames Human Relations Commission is partnering with the Ames Public Library, the Ames Progressive Alliance, and various other organizations to host a community event called Inclusive Ames, A Time to Act. You are invited. We who live here in Central Iowa have come to represent a diverse human mosaic, and this event is aimed at embracing this.
Inclusive Ames will be held tomorrow, Tuesday, November the 29th, in the Farwell T. Brown Auditorium of the Ames Public Library. Matthew Goodman and Jess Calhoun are two Ames residents and members of the Ames Progressive Alliance who are involved in making this happen. I spoke with them last week about it, and they were eager to make sure that you know you're invited. Here's some of what they said. You began by talking about the outcome of the election. And one thing that many of our listeners might be wondering is whether people are welcome, whoever they voted for.
Absolutely. I think that what we want to do more than anything else is have people meet other people and connect with other people on that level that they don't normally engage with. I think that's what's really most important about this. And, you know, I think it's probably challenging for a lot of people to do that. And I think that's what makes it all the more important.
Mm-hmm.
We would be the first to say that we don't just want people in the room who think like we do. We want everyone. We want everyone to come. We want people who voted for Trump to come. We want people who have a range of experiences, because it's only that through that that we'll come to a greater understanding.
So you want people who are happy with the outcome of the election and people who are unhappy to come and engage with one another. Would that be accurate?
I think yes. And also, I even though the election has stirred a lot of emotions in a lot of people, I don't know that I'm thinking about attendees in the context of happy or unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the election has done is uncovered some behaviors that many people, no matter how they voted, may not feel are American, melting pot, work hard, no matter who you are and what you think, and make it work behaviors. And so rather than worry about how they feel about the election, I think a lot of people see the manifestations of some underlying issues of communication and understanding bubbling up post-election. And I'm hoping, and I think this is the Alliance in general, we're hoping many perspectives show up at this event to learn about others' perspectives. And I think that is the greatest, the most powerful course to changing behaviors, creating more cooperation, We really don't want to see the city of Ames interacting in ways that I think our federal election system has been interacting. So I want us to remember that we are trying to get together and listen and learn, and hopefully with greater understanding, we can move forward together more effectively than perhaps the nation as a whole right now.
Okay. So once again, let's just remind people when this event is. It's on Tuesday, the 29th, from 6 to 8 p.m.
We'll
6 to 8 p.m. in the library.
In the library. And I'd like to also add that just to make it easier for people who, like myself, who have young families, we will be offering child activities upstairs in the library.
Oh, terrific.
In the Dale Ross room.
So come and bring your children. Thank you very much, Matthew Goodman and Jess Calhoun.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host, Ursula Rudenberg, here with Kay Puttock, and we were just hearing about Inclusive Ames from Ames residents Matthew Goodman and Jess Calhoun. With us in the studio here at KHOI is John Kloss from the Ames Human Rights Commission. The Human Rights Commission is hosting this event in partnership with many other local organizations. And so thank you for joining us, John.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here, Ursula and Kay. Good to see you this morning. Kay is a neighbor of mine, lives down the street. We just established exactly which house she has.
When we spoke earlier, John, you expressed concerns about the potential for an uncertain and distrustful climate in our community. Can you please speak to that?
Well, the Ames Human Relations Commission, and that's our – we're not the Human Rights Commission. We're the Human Relations we have a mission much the same as the Iowa Civil Rights Commission. We were established by city ordinance in 1974, and through the years the text of our ordinance has grown and evolved to the point now where it is virtually the same as the Iowa Civil Rights Statute. It wasn't always that way. And we started out as a modest effort to make people conscious of the need for inclusiveness in our community. And this was 40-some years ago. We used the expression human relations. Because at that time, if you can believe it, there were still people who kind of, you know, their heart rate went up when you said civil rights, because they sensed it as an unsettling process in which people were saying bad things about the country that they loved. And so we chose human relations as the name. But it's now, of course, evolved to where we serve the same function as the State Civil Rights Commission. And our function is to be a go-to agency when you feel that you've been mistreated, been denied some equal access to public accommodations or services because of your race, your national origin, color, creed, religious affiliation, sexual orientation, gender identity, physical disability, and developmental disability. And we protect against that discrimination on those bases in the areas of housing, education, employment, public accommodations, which just includes all the services that are offered to the public by any business, and credit. So this is our function. If you have a complaint, you can call our number, which is 239-5101. Or download a complaint form from the Human Relations Commission's portion of the City of Ames website, and staff will begin the process of having it investigated. And we have volunteer investigators, or sometimes we refer the matter to the state of Iowa, who is always eager to help us investigate a case. And then after the facts are gathered, the matter is looked at by one of our volunteer lawyers to make a determination if, basically if there's probable cause to believe there has been a violation. In other words, if these facts are all true, as alleged, then this constitutes a violation. That's called a probable cause determination. And once that is made, then the process of conciliation, meetings and negotiations between the person who is complaining and the person who's being complained about.
So the person who actually determines whether there has been a violation is a legal team?
Well, they make a determination of not if there's been a violation, but whether or not there's reason to believe that there could be.
And that's a legal team that decides that?
That is correct. We have a team of volunteer lawyers.
And who exactly sits on the commission?
Well, I'm a chair of the commission, and then the other members are Victoria Knight, Joel Holshine, Heidi Thompson, and Amy Tahan. They're a very dynamic, youngish group, much younger than I, and I'm really excited about their abilities and skills to lead us forward in this area.
Are these appointments, or how do these people come? They're appointed by the mayor?
Appointed by the mayor, affirmed by the city council.
And so how long?
The term is 3 years for all positions, except one term is a one-year position.
Mm-hmm. And there's been some turnover in this position since it's been here for a while, this commission.
Oh, there's been a lot of people who have served on the Ames Human Relations Commission over the years. I was appointed in June of 2010, and my last term will end in 2018, April 2018.
And in the course of this commission's life, have there been a lot of issues investigated and found questionable or found causes for concern?
No. The answer is no. We have received very few complaints.
How many?
I couldn't give you that number.
Less than 10?
Over the life of the commission, no. I'm sure there's more than that.
Uh-huh.
But 10 might be a big number for a year. In fact, 10 would be a big number for a year. So we are now placing increasing emphasis on our other mission, which is to conduct projects of education. And we're finding that to be a very exciting and fruitful aspect. And we've started doing all kinds of things to raise our profile in the community and to speak out to help people understand the importance of inclusiveness, and it's gone pretty well. We have seized on opportunities such as this inclusiveness event that the APA is sponsoring to make ourselves better known in the community.
Now, why have this event now?
Well, that's the decision of the steering committee for the Ames Progressive Alliance. As I said, we see this event as an opportunity for the Human Relations Commission to make people aware of what we are and what we can do. We have done this in the past. The association between the Human Relations Commission and the Ames Progressive Alliance, it's kind of evolved from events starting this summer. You may recall there was some concern about Confederate flags being sold at bank night, and the Ames Human Relations Commission saw that as something we should address, and we had a meeting with the Main Street Cultural District.
This was when a Confederate flag was flown during a bike night.
Right. This was in July. Mm-hmm. It was about July. It was just shortly after the 4th of July, as I recall, 7th, 8th, somewhere in there. And we had a good conversation, gave a report to the city council, heightened our understanding and awareness of the issue, and I think probably gained some better understanding with the Main Street Development Commission as to, about how this could affect people.
We're speaking with John Klaus from the Ames Human Relations Commission. They're holding an event tomorrow evening in collaboration with Ames Progressive Alliance. The event's called Inclusive Ames, and it's at the Ames Public Library. You're invited to attend as a community member. John, would you describe briefly what will happen at the event?
Well, I don't know what will happen at the event, but I'm going to be there.
Okay.
Many people have been invited, and I think it's going to be a really good turnout. As I was saying earlier, we've gotten involved at the Ames Human Relations Commission because we've been working with the Ames Progressive Alliance on other events. As you may recall, back in the 14th of July, I think it was, the Ames Progressive Alliance did something with the Body of Christ Church to provide a forum to address concerns people were feeling about some violent events that occurred involving police departments and citizens. And that was very well attended. And then they were looking for a next step, what to do next. And in a conversation I was having with some members of the APA steering committee, I suggested, well, maybe the next step should be taken by the city. Send us a letter asking us and see what we can do. And they did. And from that, we organized an event to bring in the Iowa Civil Rights Commission staff to put on a program called Know Your Rights. And we talked about how, you know, what the civil rights statutes in Iowa are and how they're investigated and resolved. And that was held at the city library and also in the Pioneer Room at the Union. And it was a next step. Then a next step after that was when those posters began appearing on the campus, indicating that this was a white nation that and the white people were losing control of their own country, which is really, you know, white supremacist garbage nonsense. And the Ames Human Relations Commission felt we needed to respond to that. We needed to speak to that. And so we held a telephone meeting, drafted with the help of Joel Holstein, who's really a very good writer. We prepared a statement and sent it off to the Des Moines Register and posted it on the city's website. And it was pretty well received. We got about 1,000 people looked at it on the city's website, which is big for us. And at the end of that statement, we invited people to come to our November 17th meeting to talk more about it. We had a good turnout at the November 17th meeting. Everybody from the commission was there except me. I had to miss that meeting, but it was a good conversation, and Matthew Goodman from the APA showed up, and there was a conversation about what could be done for some type of an inclusiveness event. And the commission said, yes, we're on that.
Actually, I can tell people a bit about what will happen because Matthew told me. And so did Jess. There will be sort of an orientation when people come, and there'll be questions asked, questions provided by organizations like the NAACP, a League of Women Voters, all sorts of people. Questions to think about and to talk about. And then there'll be breakout groups in small groups of three or four. And people would discuss these questions and what they want to do about it. And then they'll come together again. And according to which questions they wish to address, they'll go into like a caucus. They'll go into corners of the room. And then they'll talk some more about how they're going to address this and what they're going to do. So it will be an opportunity for all sorts of different people to have input and to share their ideas and so on. And they hope this will be one, I understand, of many a series of events, and people come together again and talk more about the progress.
Yeah, when I said it, I didn't know what would happen. I mean, I knew this was a methodology they're going to use, but what's going to come out of it, I have no idea.
Right.
But the Ames Human Relations Commission has scheduled a special meeting for December 8th to react, to respond, to evaluate whatever does come out of the inclusiveness event.
So maybe would you come back and give us a report at that time?
Of course. I'd be delighted to come back.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
We're speaking with John Kloss from the Human Relations Commission, the Ames Human Relations Commission. John, could you mention that there was a brochure that where people can file complaints?
Yes.
Can you say where someone can find that online?
Well, just Google City of Ames, then go to Boards and Commissions.
Uh-huh.
Find the Ames Human Relations Commission,
and
click on that.
And there's an outline there.
There will be a fillable form for filing a complaint.
Okay, thank you, John Kloss. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. KHOI is in the middle of its membership drive in order to bring you into the family of people who will sponsor the station and provide the funds needed for operations in 2017. We're looking for 50 new members. So if you have not joined KHOI, please consider doing so at this time. Membership starts at $55, and you can donate at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or you can join by going online and donating there at khoifm.org. If you've been a member of KHOI in 2016. We thank you for bringing us this far and ask you to renew your membership now. We are seeking to meet a matching grant of $25,000 by the end of December. And to date, we've raised $18,000, so please at this time help us reach our goal. $7,000 to go. Again, the number and the website are khoifm.org, khoifm.org, or 515-292-2878. And if you prefer to send in a donation, our address is at the website, khoifm.org, or come by, and we'll thank you in person.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and that was the Ames Children's Choir. The Ames Children's Choir will perform their holiday concert on December the 3rd at 3 p.m. at Bethesda Lutheran Church.
This is an annual Christmas season event not to be missed. The choir includes three groups based on their ages. Sean Stevenson, executive assistant for the choir, is here to explain.
The Ames Children's Choir is celebrating their annual holiday concert on Sunday, December 4th at 3 o'clock p.m. at Bethesda Lutheran Church, and that's located on Northwestern Avenue in Ames.
Can you explain what the three different age groups are? Let's take just a second here. We've got some equipment adjustment. Let's swing the mics over so that...
We have three age-based choirs. Our youngest choir is prep choir, and that consists of 7 and 8-year-olds. And then our intermediate choir is called chorale, and that would be 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. And then our oldest choir is the concert choir, ages 12 on up to 18, for treble voices.
Okay, and thank you, Sean, for coming in. We had a little bit of a hectic start to the interview, but we're all settled in now. And thank you for coming. Would you introduce us to the conductors of the choirs?
Yeah, the conductor of our youngest two choirs, the prep choir and the chorale, is Mindy Pombasai, and she's been with us for, I think this is her third year with us. She actually co-conducted the choirs back at the beginning stages with our founder and director, Dr. Sylvia Munson, but she moved away and she had teaching history in elementary schools, and then she returned to the Ames area, and she's been back with us, and we've been delighted to have her work with the younger kids and bring her love and enthusiasm of music to them.
And I think Mindy is with us by phone. Is that true, Mindy?
Yes, I am.
That's great. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Then our concert choir is directed by Dr. Christina Speck, and she just joined us this year, and we are delighted to have her expertise as she is the assistant professor at Iowa State in music education. She teaches courses in elementary and secondary choral music methods, so we are very fortunate to have her join our staff this fall.
And Christina is here with us in the studio. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Christina, tell us a little bit. You're new to the community, or relatively new. Welcome.
Thank you.
You've been here about a year, right?
Yes, yes. This will be my second year here.
And how long have you been with the choir?
A few months. I came on in August.
So how is it?
It's been absolutely wonderful. You know, I knew it was going to be fun, but the students, every single week, the singers continually blow me away. These, you know, they're good singers, of course. You know, they can sing in tune, they can blend all these things. But I think the most wonderful part that you're always surprised is just how genuinely friendly they are to each other, how they work together, how they enjoy being around each other. I mean, they come to sing, but there's also a lot in there about they come to be with each other and hang out. So that part has been just mind-blowing. It's been wonderful.
Sean described earlier how there's different age groups. Mm. Do children in the choir tend to come in young and stay the whole time, or do they go in and out of the choir?
I would say typically we have a lot of kids who come in to the prep choir and the chorale, and then they move on up and stay with the choirs. Yeah, we have a fairly good retention rate that way.
So it can really encompass a whole childhood, really.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh. And where do the children come from?
We have singers from probably 8 different communities: Ames, Boone, Nevada, Gilbert, Huxley, Slater, Cambridge, you know, just the local area around Ames. Mm-hmm. Primarily Ames singers, as you would imagine, but we have a lot of singers who come from other communities as well.
And Mindy, can you describe a little bit what kind of performance to expect?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be a wonderful performance. It'll start our holiday concert off with the prep choir and the chorale, the little ones, just opening with their sweet voices, a cradle song by Mozart. Mm. And then the chorale will sing a few songs alone, Deck the Halls and Quiet Sea and some folk songs of Banjo on My Knee. And then the concert choir, I'm sure, will be wonderful. Christina can tell you more. And then I'm excited that at the end, we'll all three choirs will sing together Sivivan in Hebrew, a Hanukkah song about a spinning dreidel. And then we'll end with some South African freedom songs, Freedom is Coming and Siya Hamba. So looking forward to the performance.
Well, it's really a global performance.
Yeah, we try to make it that way.
And are there instruments involved, too, in the performances?
Yes, there are, absolutely. You know, violin is playing with us. There's going to be some African percussion instruments for the freedom songs. And then I think, Christina, you have some instruments playing with the concert choir. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have a harpist playing for a couple of our pieces.
Who are the musicians?
Katie Quant from Iowa State University. She's an undergraduate harpist. She'll be doing that. Rebecca Rowling is a percussionist from Iowa State, one of my students there. She'll be doing a lot of the djembe playing, and she is, I'm sure, at this moment creating the ostinato that she'll be teaching all of us to do on the drums. And then the violinist is Isabel Polishek, who is a concert choir singer and just a lovely young lady.
Sounds beautiful. Christina, Sean mentioned earlier that you are at Iowa State. Could you repeat again what exactly you do at Iowa State?
Yeah, I'm assistant professor of music education, and I teach classes regarding elementary music methods and mm-hmm. secondary choral music methods. So I'm teaching all the students who will someday go out and either teach elementary music or a choir, middle school and high school choir. And I also teach a couple classes on you know, just intro to music ed. And then in addition to that, I do a lot of research on singing voice development of young children.
So your work with the choir is actually a very coherent extension of the research you're doing and what you teach. You really have the ability to I don't know if testing it out is the right word, but to implement what you're teaching, right?
Yes, absolutely. Not only that, but I'm also able to pull in some of my students from the university to help and to observe and to be part of the Ames Children's Choir. So while they have practicum experiences in the public school, this has been another opportunity to have hands-on experience, but with also me there, wow. Which has been really mm-hmm. fun, so we can reflect on things that are going on. And yes, at some point, I'll file IRB paperwork and hopefully have a little research experiment go on with the choir.
You were talking about voice development yes. of young children. I presume you have to be especially careful with young voices.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned that because you really, really do. We have, in our society today, we seem to be pushing this idea that children should be belting or the Annie sound is what every child should sound like, when really that's very hard on their singing voice, and that can create a lot of problems early on that last throughout their lifetime. The kind of singing that we promote, and Mindy is also just masterful with getting this sound from her children as well, is a light sound, a child singing voice that's tuneful, that blends, but that is not vocally harmful, that it's light. It's a child sound, very similar to the boy choir sound from across the pond. Mm-hmm. You know, we are mm-hmm. definitely very much continuing that tradition here.
Hmm. Sounds like the choir is really benefiting from your professional expertise.
Well, they've been they have a long history of really great singing. Sylvia Munson, she started the children's program, and she really established quite a high, what's the word, standard of excellence. Mm-hmm. Definitely. She was phenomenal with what she did.
Do you find that the work with the choir also helps you in your work at Iowa State?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. So many times once we get into higher education, we become a little removed from mm-hmm. the real field, right? But getting to work with the children's choir, I can go to class the next day and be like, well, I had a student last night who da-da-da-da-da-da. or experience, we're able to talk a lot about the male changing voice because I have singers in my choir who are going through the voice change. So it's exciting to get to talk about it in the moment as it's happening with students.
Does that happen mm-hmm. to women, too, as they get older, their voice changes?
Yes. Lynn Gackle from Baylor University is doing a lot of research on how to manage the female changing voice. Now, it's not as crazy as the male changing voice, but we definitely, it gets breathier with our hormones changing. Some days we feel amazing. Some days we feel like we can't sing at all. So there's a lot of research going on. And then Bridget Sweet over at University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana. Oh, I think I just messed up that title. You know,
University
the one over there.
University of Illinois.
Yeah. She's continuing a lot of Lynn Gackle's work with regard to the female changing voice, and we're getting to talk a lot about that. It's really interesting research.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Mindy, you're still with us?
I sure am.
Mindy, how long have you been with the Ames Children's Choir?
Well, I started actually as a student assistant with Dr. Munson back in 1997 or 8, and continued with her and went on to be her assistant director and directed the chorale. And then we moved away, and now I've been back for 3 years. Been so happy to be back with the children's choir. It's just a joy to work with them. It's just wonderful. And you talked about continuing. They continue on through. That's one of the most wonderful things, is to hear their voices continue to develop, and as they explore and continue to love music and learn. It's just wonderful to see them progress through the choirs and continue loving and learning about music.
Well, thank you. Sean, would you please repeat when the concert is and where?
Yes, it's this coming Sunday, December 4th at 3 o'clock p.m. at Bethesda Lutheran Church. And I believe the address is 1517 Northwestern Avenue, kind of in the center of the city. And I did also want to just let any future singers out there know that we will be accepting singers into all three choirs for the second semester beginning in January. Those auditions are January 4th through the 8th. And we have something new this year that we're excited about. We're going to have open rehearsals the entire month of January for all choirs. So If you're interested,
what is an open rehearsal?
Well, it just means that if you're interested in coming and visiting and trying out the choirs to see what they're like, whether it's a good fit or it's something you might enjoy, you're welcome just to come. There is no tuition fee or charge or anything, and that information can be found by calling me at 515-290-1422 or emailing info@aimschildrenschoirs.org.
Would you repeat those?
The phone number is 515-290-1422. The email address is info@aimschildrenschoirs.org.
Okay, thank you. And I've noticed the best way to keep up with Ames Children's Choir is on Facebook.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We are working on that, adding more as much as we can.
Okay, and again, the performance will be on December 4th at 3 o'clock p.m. at Bethesda Lutheran Church.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for
having
us.
Thank you so much.
We were speaking with Sean Stevenson, Christina Zweck, and Mindy Fomise from the Ames Children's Choir. The Children's Choir will perform their holiday concert on December the 3rd at 3 p.m. at the Bethesda Lutheran Church, 1517 Northwestern Avenue in Ames. Thank you for being on Local Talk.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, here, one of your hosts, together with Kay Patak.
Local Talk is a virtual community living room, and it's always an honor to introduce you to information and talented people here in our community living room. At this time, please think about becoming part of the support base for Local Talk and other programs on KHOI by becoming a member sponsor. We're looking for 50 new members by the end of December. We've been conducting a membership drive for 3 weeks, and so far we have 32 new members. We're asking you to become the next members. And if you're a member of KHOI already and have not renewed yet, please consider doing so at this time, or become a sustaining member so you don't have to worry about renewing.
Please join KHOI or renew your membership by making an online donation at khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. If you prefer not to donate online, you can find our address there at khoifm.org to send it in by mail or just drop it off in person here at the station. We're a storefront, and so we always welcome people walking in. Or give us a call to pledge at 515-292-2878. 515-292-8878. Every member counts. You count very much to us, and we're very appreciative of your membership.
And now Allison Walter has joined us from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Welcome again, Allison.
Good morning.
And please tell us what's in store for us in December.
You know, I have a lot of great events. There are a number of performances, like you were just speaking about. There are lots of fun do-it-yourself craft options and just lots to do, of course. Always lots to do in our community. This Thursday, we have Cirque Dreams Holidays, and it's a Cirque show, a Broadway musical, and a holiday spectacular all in one. It's a great family show.
A Cirque show is a circus?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And it's full of imaginative, inventive, and thoroughly entertaining performances, and it is a wonderful holiday show for the family.
What is this, like trapeze and
yes.
acrobatics?
Acrobatics, like? Yes, and wonderful costumes. Uh-huh. And you'll just be amazed at the contortions that they can get in and mm-hmm. the strength of the performers.
Sure.
So lots of fun, and that's at Stevens Auditorium, and that's this Thursday. They've been doing a real variety of performances at Stevens this year, and it's been kind of fun to see mm-hmm. What they come up with next. ISU Theater is doing The Night Thoreau Spent in Jail, and it is a play reliving Henry Thoreau's famous night in jail for refusing to pay his taxes. And he refused because money might be used to support slavery or the Mexican-American War. And so they have performances this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday, December 4th at 1. And then also again next weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2.
I just have to add, I presume this will be in the play. Emerson visited Thoreau in prison, and they had quite an interesting conversation.
Interesting conversation.
One said to the other, what are you doing here? And the other one said, what are you doing there?
Well, there you go. So that's at Fisher Theater coming up the next 2 weekends. The Central Iowa Symphony Winter Concert is Saturday at 7:30 at Ames mm-hmm. City Auditorium. The Ames Children's Choir's Holiday Concert is Sunday, this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock, and that's at Bethesda. University Choirs and Orchestra Holiday Concert will be in Stevens Auditorium on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And so there will be musical performances by all of the university choirs and the orchestra. Good Company, a women's choral ensemble, is doing a performance also.
And our own Mary Richards, isn't that, I believe?
Ah, there you go. Well, they are performing at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church. And some wonderful holiday music there. And then we have Ames' annual Tuba Christmas. And that is a tuba and euphonium that will have over 100 tubas and euphoniums performing. And it's at First United Methodist Church. And there's a concert at 11 and then a second one at 1:30. So that's a unique opportunity you don't hear every day. Of course, we have the Nutcracker Ballet, their annual performance. And I believe that this is their 36th straight year of doing that
wow.
show at Stevens Auditorium. Mm. They have
it's always popular.
It yeah. is. It's wonderful because they bring local dancers from around the area, but then they also bring two professionals in to play the lead role. So mm-hmm. a great opportunity
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I believe there's usually children dancing
yes.
around the children around the Christmas
Lots
tree.
Lots of
there.
Children in, involved.
Yeah. So
they have a Saturday matinee at 4:30 and a Saturday evening show, and then a Sunday afternoon show on December 11th. So that's the 10th and 11th at Stevens Auditorium. We also have the Nadas performing in Ames this year. Saturday, December 17th, it's at Ames City Auditorium.
And what is the Nada?
The Nadas is a band that originally started in Des Moines. and have become very popular around the U.S.
That's a strange name.
The
it means
Nadas,
nothing.
Right?
It's a what kind of a
Rock band, I would say. And they are doing toys for tots and collecting toys. And they do this annual holiday show called Nada Silent Night. And that you can get tickets at the City Auditorium, the City Community Center, and the performances at the City Auditorium, Saturday the 17th at 7:30. The Heart of Iowa Senior Band will be performing, and that will be Sunday the 18th at the Public Library. And that's a lot of opportunities to go out and see a performance.
Yeah, that's great.
And as you can see, there are performances all over the community. Lots of churches opening up for these holiday performances.
And again, Allison, a reminder, this is an overwhelming amount of information. Where does one go to get this information?
We have our new website, thinkames.com, and you can find our full event calendar on that website, thinkames.com.
Okay.
Yes. We have lots of other fun family activities. The Santa Express train over at Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad, they take the train to the North Pole, meet Santa, you receive a special gift, and hot cocoa and cookies. And they even suggest that you prepare for the adventure and come in your pajamas. And they will have rides this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. They will have them Friday the 9th, Saturday the 10th, Sunday the 11th, and the next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday the 16th through the 18th. Winterfest will be happening on Iowa State's campus next Friday, the last Friday before Dead Week, and they'll do a tree lighting and lots of activities at the Memorial Union. They will have holiday story time with Cy at the University Bookstore. Hear a story and get your holiday picture taken with Cy on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. And the Ames Historical Society will be celebrating their old-fashioned Christmas December 3rd from 11 to 2. And they'll have activities and creating Christmas traditions at the Ames Historical Society here right next door on 416 Douglas. The Queen Anne Bed and Breakfast will be doing a royal tea on Saturday, December 3rd. And that is an opportunity to get all dressed up and enjoy a spot of tea at the Queen Anne Bed and Breakfast over in Nevada.
In Nevada.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is on 9th Street in Nevada.
That might appeal to me.
Yes, it does. lots and lots of things like that. I did want to mention also the Butterfly Blizzard at Ryman Gardens on Saturday, December 3rd and on the 17th. You can come in from the cold and experience a different kind of blizzard by releasing your own butterflies in the tropical butterfly wing at Ryman Gardens. And that's just a wonderful experience. Butterflies fluttering around your head.
Is the blizzard, the butterfly blizzard, different than other times at the butterfly garden?
You actually get to release a butterfly.
They sort of grow their own butterflies
exactly.
from the pupa. So when they're ready to be released, you get to do that.
You get to have them in a little box, and then everyone comes in and opens their box, and the butterflies all flutter around. So, yeah, it's kind of a neat experience. Mm-hmm. I love going there to the butterfly wing on a cold and dreary day because it's always nice and warm. Prairie Moon is doing a Lunar Emporium, an annual winter market filled with wares and items for holiday gifts. Local vendors, food, and wine will be available. And that is Saturday, December 10th. So there's lots more, but we could go on for hours. But just check out our website, which is visitames.com or thinkames.com, and see details, times, how to get tickets for all of these wonderful events going on in the community.
Okay, thank you. And this is Allison Walter from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. And again, thinkames.com
Correct.
Is where to get a full listing of events. And what a month it's going to be.
It's going to be a great month. Lots of holiday events.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Before we close up, Greta Anderson has dropped in, reporter for KHOI. And Greta, you just came back from Standing Rock. Can you give us the latest news there?
Well, yes. The news is that the big news occurred as we were leaving. We saw on our phones that the Army Corps of Engineers plans to evacuate this camp of several thousand on December 5th. There's also a group of veterans that I'd heard about all throughout the time that I was there coming, an arrival of veterans to support the camp and its purpose on December 4th. So this will be an interesting time. As you know, Ursula, I made the decision to go at the very last minute. I decided on Monday after I'd heard the news about the Morton County Police Sheriff's weaponizing water, using water in sub-freezing temperatures against the water protectors who were on a road. And when I was we reported that on Local Talk on Monday, along with a lot of local pipeline news from Des Moines and the Des Moines River, which also has some interesting developments. But when I looked online, I saw that PBS, a news outlet that I have trusted my entire life, was reporting that the water was used strictly to put out fires that were set by water protectors. And then a friend of mine posted that NPR was reporting. NPR, another very trusted voice in the news, was reporting that the water protectors, I'm sure that's not what they called them, were throwing stones at the sheriffs. And that just went against everything that I had heard from people, our correspondents, people who had been actually at the camp and experienced the environment there, the message that was being really preached. I mean, there's quite a bit of church at this camp. You spend a lot of time in prayer and thoughtful meditation. And so, you know, two very trusted news outlets reporting things from a slant that just did not seem right to me. I thought, well, I'm an independent reporter. I can go in. I have some contacts in the community. I know some people in the Lakota Nation and have been there several times. Maybe I can do some good just listening and recording and learning it. And that's what I did.
And when you went there, what did you see? I mean, it sounds like you went there with some doubts about what was being reported.
Well, I mean, there's the camp and then there's the front lines. And, mm-hmm. you know, only a certain percentage of people who are in the camp supporting the Lakota people in their stand against the pipeline are involved on the front lines. There are meetings for people who are going to the front lines every, you know, maybe two or three times a day where they teach principles of nonviolence and, you know, very specific to whatever action they're going to take. I didn't participate in any of the mm-hmm. frontline stuff. I spoke with people, and I wanted to speak with some of the elders of the Lakota Nation mm-hmm. about how they experienced things.
So hopefully you brought some recordings with
yes,
people?
Yes, okay. And I spoke with people who were on the front lines. And on Friday, we will be, I believe, our local talk show will be dedicated to this trip. I shared with Jen McClung. Many people know her as a singer-songwriter. She's also mm-hmm. She also teaches American Indian Studies at the university, and she actually led me on this trip. Mm-hmm. And we might have another person who also from Ames, Jessica Fierce, who's also been on the show before, but she was on the front line in frontline actions and can report exactly what the behavior of the sheriffs were. It's disappointing news.
Okay. Well, thank you. And that'll be on Friday with
yes.
Recordings from Standing Rock. And you've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We've been your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg and Kate Puttock. We spoke today with Matthew Goodman, Jess Calhoun, John Cloths, Sean Stevenson, Mindy Pomisay, Christina Sveck, and Allison Walter. Local Talk was engineered by Evan Taylor. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
You can also listen to this show and all our past local talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. You can find today's show on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, is able to post it. Thank you, Ron. KHOI streams online at khoifm.org, where you can also find an archive of KHOI's shows. Please remember that you, as listener, are the most important part of local talk. Your participation as an audience and your generous donations help make it all possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.